Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. We need to direct our attention to that portion of God's word. Let us pray. Father God, we honor you and praise you. We are your people. This is your word. Have your way, God, in this worship experience. Help me crucify my flesh that you can have your way, God. Bless us as we dig into your word together, that we'll find the truth of your word and we'll be able to go on and see what the end is going to be. And if there's anyone here who has not yet accepted you or needs to be reconciled to you, God, we know your word will not come back void. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Today we want to talk about the enemy and your destiny. The enemy and your destiny. Spent a whole week at Vacation Bible School talking about the armor of God. And in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, it talks about we're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. So I just want to let somebody know today that the enemy is coming against your destiny. And the enemy is actually beyond the folk that you and I can see. Sometimes we see folk and we see them coming at us, but they're just the vessels that the enemy is using. The actual attack is higher than what you see because there's spiritual wickedness in high places. So when you come at me, then you're really not going at the source of the problem. Because you're looking at me, I'm being used of the enemy to come against you. I may not even know why, but really it's coming from another place. So the enemy and your destiny. You might not want to hear it, but the enemy doesn't want you to make it. Some of us don't, we're in denial. We don't want to accept that. But the devil does not want you and I to make it. But God has a plan for your life. God actually does have a plan for all of our lives. When Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and Savior, God's plan for your life is activated. Amen. When we accept Him as Lord and Savior, that plan begins to move. It goes into action. And don't be fooled, because even though God has a plan for our lives, we're going to have some ups and some downs. But I think in the body of Christ, we have a habit of standing up and only telling the bad part without telling the good part. Sometimes you have a testimony service, folks want to talk about what the devil did, but what did God do when the devil showed up? We need to tell the whole story. Somebody needs to know the whole story, that even though I'm having some trouble while I'm a Christian, I got a God who is able to do anything and everything but fail. I had to learn how to hold on. I had to learn how to be still and to know that God is in fact God. A lot of times when my situation wouldn't be dealt with, it wasn't God's fault, it was my fault. How many of us are impatient? Nobody like mess. But how many of us get impatient when mess comes? God said, you still got to wait on me. I specialize in mess. I had to understand one day that God can keep you in the mess. The mess wanted to mess me up. But because I belong to Jesus, He kept me through the mess. The mess wanted to mess me up, kill me, annihilate me and everything. But God kept me in the mess. And God was just showing the messer that He's got power over the mess that He sent. Come on, somebody. What? In the midst of it all, God will keep you. He's sending a word out, a message to the enemy. You don't really have my child. I'm in charge. Glory be to God. And what does God want us to learn out of it? I don't want to repeat some of these classes I'm going through with the Lord. No, Lord, what do you want me to learn? I ain't going back. I won't repeat this one. What I need to learn. But the enemy and your destiny. The enemy don't want you to make it. And he bold about it too. He tried to snuff you out at birth. Just like he did Jesus. Trying to snuff him out at birth, because he knew that if Jesus reached his destiny, that you and I would be saved. Your life in Christ has destiny. The ultimate destiny is to make it to heaven. But there are destinations along the way. You know, you can focus on your final ultimate destiny, but there's destinations along the way. Just like when you go to school, before you go to third grade, you ought to go to first and second grade. And if you were fortunate enough to get skipped, somebody had to make the agreement that at least you knew enough from second grade to get skipped from first to the third grade. But you got to go in steps to get to, ultimately you want to graduate. But there are destinations along the way. You need to go to this grade and that grade and that grade and do this and to do that. It's the same way in our life with Christ. There's destinations along the way. But, you know, the enemy just don't want you to make it. He doesn't want you to make it. It's not your mama. It's not your daddy. It's not the way you were brought up. It's not that person on the job that hates you. It's the enemy in them. And we're fighting against them, but we're really not fighting at the source. God has a plan for your life. Your life in Christ has destiny. The problem is that the enemy does not want you to fulfill the plan God has for your life. That's what the bottom line is. Ain't nobody mad with you. Ain't nobody jealous of you. Ain't nobody envious of you. If you find somebody being envious of you or jealous of you and mad at you, it's really the enemy in them trying to get them to throw you off course. So while I'm fighting them, the enemy is still having his way because the enemy has distracted me. I'm using all my energy trying to get back at you for you trying to stop me and the enemy on the sidelines laughing. What I need to do is to learn how to pray and learn how to put on the whole armor and get to the source of all this mess that's coming at me. But the enemy wants to distract us to make you think it's her and it's him and it's this and it's that. But really, it's the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But God said you got to put on the whole armor that you might be able to stand and against all the wiles of the devil, having done all to stand. The enemy don't want you to reach your destiny. He don't want you to get there. The enemy will try to frustrate you, try to mess you up, try to get you to the point where you want to give up throwing the towel. You ever get to that point? Is this really worth it? All you've been through now, all you've been through. You got to a certain point in your life and the enemy throw you a hard shot and you begin to talk about, is it really worth it? I want to throw in the towel. You better watch because the enemy don't want you to make it. You got to learn how to fight. Christians need to learn how to fight and let the enemy know, hey, God is yet on my side. You got to remember what God said. When the sun come at you, the other part of you got to say, but what did God say? When somebody preached a message about, but God, we have to understand, what did God promise me? What makes you think of the enemy's coming after you that God's promises are no longer true? What happens to us when the enemy throws a good punch that we just fall apart, fall down, forget the word of God, forget what we pray, forget how far he's taken us? What is it? Ain't nothing but the enemy trying to thwart your destiny, trying to mess you up. The enemy knows that you can do all things through Christ, but the question is, do you know you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you? Don't think the enemy's a dummy. Lord have mercy. The enemy knows that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The question is, do you know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and do you know it and do you believe it? The enemy knows that God is a present help in the time of trouble. But the question is, do you know and believe that God is your present help in the time of trouble? That's the question. When something shakes your faith, can you still hold on to the word of God? It is so much easier to shout when everything's going all right. But when you get to shout out when things aren't all right, that you in there. The enemy got something to deal with. You don't know. No, you don't want to come here, devil. I'm prepared. I'm going to fight you just like the Bible told me to fight you. And the Bible lets me know I can get the victory. But you got to learn how to bless them in season out. You're not shouting for the mess you're going through. You're shouting for the fact that victory awaits you. Not to give you a bad report. I don't want you to shout for the bad report. I want you to shout for a God that can take that bad report and make it a good report. Because God has not given up on you. But the enemy knows that God can bless you and keep you. So the enemy just starts out just trying to mess you up. Every time you get ready to do something, begin to bring up your childhood. Or this happened to me. Or that happened to me. Or my mother wasn't this. And my father wasn't that. Or these people don't want me to have this. Don't want me to have that. Yes, there's people in the world that try to block you. But guess what? God is greater than the blocking. Some of the stuff that God, you gotta learn myself, some of the stuff that God used people to block you from, he don't want you to have no way. He used them to block you because he had something different or something better for you. But God has a plan for your life. But you gotta walk this thing by faith and not by sight. I tell you, because if we go by what we see,
we probably all won't come back here next Sunday.
Amen. Amen. Some of the stuff you see, some of the stuff you see in your own life, you see around you, you see happening in your neighborhood. God, where are you? You say, God, where? But God is yet there. We already have the victory. You just got to get past Genesis and get to Revelation. You got to know the whole word of God. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is what he did. He demonstrated for you and I the strategy to be used against the enemy, whose ultimate plan is to thwart our destiny by whatever means necessary. We ought not play with him. The enemy ain't no joke. We ought not. You ought not come out, like we said during this week, half-dressed with half of your armor on. You ought to come out fully prepared and expect the enemy to take any kind of shot that he's going to take, but be prayed up and be ready to be able to stand. Don't be afraid. The Bible never, God has given us a spirit of fear. God never said be afraid. He said be prepared. Be ready to fight. Because he's going to come at you. He don't want you to make it. As simple as that. The devil don't want you and I to make it. He don't want this church to be here. He don't want the preaching of the word. He don't want the teaching of the word. He don't want you to be victorious. He don't want you to be on the job talking about him and lifting him up and magnifying him. He don't want you to play no gospel. He don't want you to believe in him. He don't want you to have no money. He don't want you to be happy. He don't want you to have no food in your refrigerator. He don't want you to have no house. He don't want you to have nothing. And we're playing around with him. Half armored, half prayed up, half knowing God, and think we're going to get something. No, no, you got to go in. You got to go in full. Said, nah, devil, not up in here. You ain't taking my child. You're not taking my marriage. You're not taking my worship. You're not taking my praise. You're not taking my membership. We fight more for other things than we fight for our spiritual things. But in Luke chapter 4 and also in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus shows us how to defeat the enemy. In Luke 4, 1 through 14, we want to deal with these three points. Number one, the enemy will try to make you doubt. Number one, he'll try to make you doubt. Make you doubt. Number two, he uses deception. You know he's called a deceiver. So number two, he uses deception. And number three, he's a detractor. He detracts from God's word. He'll give you half a scripture and try to fool you with half a scripture. So number one, doubt. Number two, deception. Number three, detractor, or he detracts from the word. Look at Luke 4. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, that messed me up. Because God already told John the Baptist, the one that you see the Spirit of God lighting upon, that's the one. He's getting ready for his earthly ministry. He's full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Now, anytime you have the anointing on your life, the enemy knows that you've been picked out by God. That is a signal to the enemy that you've been picked out by God. So don't be afraid of the anointing, but just know that you got the anointing. The Spirit of God was on Jesus. And the Spirit took him into the wilderness. Why? Because sometimes before ministry, you need a little period of preparation. You need to know you have what you need, so when God gives you another assignment, you can still have. So there's a period of preparation. But the Holy Ghost took Jesus into the wilderness. And verse 2 says, he was 40 days tempted of the devil. He was fasting and praying, didn't eat a thing. And the enemy came at him at one of the most vulnerable times, when you fast and pray. You ever try to fast and pray? That first day is a trip, ain't it? I remember I used to be like, you know, before I came full-time ministry, I was downtown, and I'd be fasting and praying, and it looked like everybody wouldn't bring their lunch back to the office that day. That part, my first day, I told my wife, well, I'm going to start on Monday. Seemed like every smell came in my office. Yes, ribs. I'm trying to fast. I said, as fast as 4 o'clock comes. No, never mind. But you know, as you continue, it got a little better. By Tuesday or Wednesday, I don't care what they brought back. I'm in a zone now. And I'm feeling this thing. And I'm already hyped. So when I fast, I get hype.
Forty days. I'm high. I'm just like that, you know. He didn't eat a thing.
And, you know, and when those 40 days is over, he was hungry. But the point is that while he was in preparation, the enemy didn't want him to get his destiny. The enemy did not want to be successful. The enemy said, I'm going to get in there as soon as I can. As soon as the dove lights upon him, and as soon as his father says, this is my beloved son, who I'm well pleased, I'm going to start. As soon as you said yes to Jesus, you walked down the aisle, you gave your life to Christ. As soon as you said, for God I'll live, for God I'll die, the enemy said, let me see if that's really true. That's his job. So if he's going to do his job, I'm going to do my job. If I know I can have the victory, I'm going to do what I need to do so that when he comes, he's going to have to go. But Jesus explained to us and described us and showed us the strategy that we should use. Look at verse 3. And the devil said unto him, don't tell me he won't talk to you. As a matter of fact, he don't talk to those that don't have any anointing because they already got them. But the anointed ones that belong to him, that's the one he picks out for. He's going to go to Jesus and fasting and praying. He's ready for ministry. And the devil said to them, if thou be doubt, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. I know you're hungry, but I'm going to deal not only with your hunger, I'm going to put some doubt in your mind if you be the Son of God. In other words, if you're a child of God, if you're the Son of God, why are you going through what you're going through? Why are you sick? Why you broke? Why you don't have no money? You hungry for what? Man, turn these stones. If thou be. I know you got the anointing on your life, but if you are who they said you are, if you are what God said you are, then, you know, I'm gonna put some doubt. If you be the Son of God, if you be that deacon, if you be that minister, if you be that Christian, you be that member of prayer, praise, and worship you're supposed to be, you that prayer warrior, or he's going to put some doubt in you. Here you are. God told you to go and apply for this job. And you get there and there's 1,500 people in line. You got to stand. You 1501. Come on, somebody. And you saying something about but God. You better stand in line. Because somebody told me a story one time. There was a lot of people in line. And the numbers got all mixed up. And they called their name. But God sent you there. He got that thing figured out. And don't be worried about the other 1,500 people. Like, oh, that's a shame. I got in front of them. God fixed that. They didn't see you walk by them. God has a whole set of blinders sometimes. He said, they didn't see you float through. And they come out to the other folk, position been filled. But the enemy puts them down. If thou be the Son of God, you read that word this morning, and God encouraged you to that word. You got all excited and put your clothes on. You was happy, go lucky. You was singing all the way to church. My God is an awesome God. He ready. Oh, you just drive down, see, oh, he see the red light. He ready for heaven. If you know who you are, if you're the Son of God, command that this stone be made bread. And Jesus asked him, saying, it is written. Know the word of God. Strategy number one, know who you are and know the word of God. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I like what Jesus said. He said, here I am in the New Testament. Let me get you some stuff from the Old Testament. That's Deuteronomy 8:3. He got some stuff from the Old Testament. It says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And that's what Jesus didn't say. I know I'm God, son. He didn't go. Don't waste your time going places you don't need to go. Don't waste your time arguing with somebody you can already beat. I have a sister, she's deaf, and sometimes I'll be messing with her, and she'd be like, nothing, no thing, no thing. Let me tell her. He asked her with the word.
And Jesus answered him, saying, so he's going to try to put them down.
You go, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian now.
He'll come right to you. But don't be afraid of him. Then number two, he does some deception. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. You got to be careful with what you're looking for and what God promised you. Because sometimes you get caught up in material stuff. Be careful.
I tell folk, ain't got nothing to do with my relationship with Christ. Why buy something that you can't enjoy because it's killing you to pay for it? Somebody help me. Maybe I'm stupid. Why you go get a car that you can't enjoy? You got this big fine car. You roll up his head. Can I get $5 worth of gold? $5 worth of jet? What? I knew that before I got saved.
You got this great big house, and you stay awake all night long, but you know how you're going to pay the mortgage. Somebody help me with this thing. Be careful about that deception. The enemy will show you some stuff and throw you off course because he don't want you to reach your destiny. He said, you know what? I know this person is a saint, but they're so material.
They so material, I'm going to mess them up. I'm going to show them something that they always wanted. I know God promised them, I'm going to show them something they always wanted. And they're not going to be able to pay their tithes, their offering. They're going to be able to pay their bills. Oh, he will mess you up. He doesn't care what he uses to mess you and I up on our death.
You are in. When you say yes to the Lord, you are on a journey. You are on a destiny that's full of destinations.
But don't be afraid because there's some lumps and some bumps in the road. But guess what? My wife and I, sometimes we go places, we might have the MapQuest, and she might even use her phone. When we went up to the Pocono Palace for, you know, celebrating our wedding anniversary, the phone said, we got up in the mountain, and Vicky said, I can't help y'all right now. That's what it said. Her phone said, I'm out. But in the direction we know we were going, we said, something ain't right. So we were able to, you know, look at the paper and find out where we needed to go. And the whole point that I wanted to share that with you is this. That even though I might get mixed up, the place is still there. Even though you and I might get delayed, your blessing is still there. Hey, no matter how long it took us to get to the place, Pocono Palace did not move. Your blessing did not move. It's still there. You need to get on the right track and go the right way to get what God promised you. Don't let a delay let you. Delay don't mean deny. Learn how to work this thing. Learn how to wait on the Lord. We know how to wait. You cannot force your boss to pay you every Monday. So don't tell me you don't know how to wait.
You wait till they give it to you. We had days when the check came late and you waited. You call payroll, but you waited. There's a glitch in the system. But I'm going to pray, y'all, because I need to get that glitch out of that system so I can get my check. But don't tell me you don't know how to wait. We got God to spoil us so much, we can't wait on God no more. We put the pressure on God.
He took them up there, took them up to the mountain and said, showed them all the kingdom of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power, please don't believe him. All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give. What he's saying is, when Adam and Eve messed up, I got this world, and it belongs to me. Now, Jesus, you get ready to go into ministry. But look here, you ain't got to go through all that. I give it to you.
That's like the people in town with the two watches. They show you the real one, put behind the back.
Oh, somebody been yoked in here. Somebody been duped up in here. And then you decide to buy it. He give you the one that ain't got nothing in it. You walk out this beautiful watch case and open up like, you in the air like,
you don't know how you're going to tell your wife, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, because you feel so stupid.
enemy will try to dupe you. He'll try to deceive you, making you think one thing. You ever let the enemy put a thought in your mind about somebody? They ain't said nothing to you. They ain't talking about you. You ever been somewhere and somebody just looking in your direction, running their mouth, and he said, "No, they talking about me again. They ain't even thinking about you." People get off on that stuff. And like you important enough for them talking about. I tell folks, no. I love you, but I ain't gonna stop and write no whole message just for you. That's the Spirit of God. Spirit of God told me to preach this message. If it falls in your house, it's in your house. Spirit of God, we ain't got no little bugs in your house on the wall. We tap in. Tell my wife, I think we're preaching this Sunday. This is what's going on in the Johnson's house there. I think we'll do this. And by the time we finish this, they're going to be like, "Oh my God. They are so spiritual." This thing is so real. And the devil said, "I give you all this." But look what verse 8, look what Jesus said to him. Jesus answered and said to him, Jesus answered. As a matter of fact, you usually answer a question. But verse 3, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread." He's questioning Jesus' sonship. So Jesus answered. And in this verse, he answered. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." That's Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. I love it because he go from the Old Testament. He give do something in the New Testament. But he pulled him back. He said, in other words, I'm Alpha and Omega. I've been here all the time. So I'm going to give you some of the old because I'm the new. So Deuteronomy 6 and 13 says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name." What's good about that is he's telling the enemy who your God is. What did he tell him? "For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." In other words, devil, you ain't nobody. You ain't got nothing to give me. Whatever I get going to come from God. I tell folks that if it ain't mine, I don't want it. I don't care what I find, where I find it. I don't care. And you know you find money when you need it the most. Come on, Christians. Come on, Christians. Come on, help me out. When you're the most vulnerable is when you find money. I need $500. And you found $500, and you saw whose pocket it fell out of. Come on, Christian. Come on. It's 90 degrees, but you can walk a little faster and get that man and tap him. "Sir, did you drop this? God, I can't reach him. I can't reach him. Oh, you must have blessed me today, God. I can't reach him." Integrity is who you are at the moment. That's your integrity. It's not who's watching you. It's what you're going to do in the dark. But nobody's watching you. And it says that, you know, "God, I don't believe you can give me that $500, so I'm going to take this." You mess around and get in touch with the person lost, and they turn around and say, oh, thank you. Here's $300. You got to do what's right, no matter where you are. See, just doing right on Sunday don't work no more, y'all. The enemy works Sunday through Sunday. Because he don't want you and I to win. He don't want us to be victorious. He don't want us to make it. He put all that stuff around you. He don't want you to be successful. But he uses doubt and deception. But Jesus said, in order to defeat the enemy, use the strategy of the Word of God. And Jesus answered him, saying, and Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." See, God's word won't come back void. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall stand. And also in Deuteronomy 10, verse 20, Jesus was speaking to the enemy, telling him, "Look, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name." You got to let him know, whether he want to hear it or not, let the enemy know, "Look, I'm with the Lord. I'm going with the Lord." And verse 7, he said, verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, look again, "If thou be the Son of God, cast ourselves down from hence. First, if thou be the Son of God, turn the stone into bread. But then he said, look, Jesus ain't no baker. So when he gets out of this verse, he says, cast thyself down from hence. And what he's trying to get Jesus to do is to do something at the devil's command. You got to be careful who voice you listen to. Because what he's doing right now, he's detracting from the word of God. He's messing up Psalm 91, verse 11. But see, the enemy got to know that Jesus is the word. Enemy needs to know that you and I know the word, who is Jesus the Christ. But he says, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Turn to Psalm 91, 11. See what the word really said. The enemy, he will halfway mess you up. Everybody needs to have the word. You need to know the word of God. Don't halfway quote scripture. The important part you might leave out. Psalm 91, 11 says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, not in the way the devil tried to get you to go. He's messing them up. At the command of the devil, go ahead, Jesus, jump off. They get you. You won't hurt yourself. You better listen to the voice of God. He may have you doing stuff, and you be wondering how you got to where you got to. It's the enemy against your destiny. And look at verse 12. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That is so powerful. That's Deuteronomy 6:16. Deuteronomy 6:16. He's telling the devil, you got a God too. You might not serve him. Deuteronomy 6:16 says, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. And you have to read through that to get into Exodus to talk about what he's talking about with, you know, they've been going through the wilderness and everything. But Jesus is telling you and I today, in order to defeat the enemy, the strategy is to use the word of God, no matter what the proposal, whether he's trying to create some doubt, deception, or detracting from the word of God, you're supposed to say to him, devil, it is written, devil, get thee behind me. Devil, you ought to know you need to go somewhere else. You need to go down the street somewhere where they don't know Jesus. Because you don't have nothing up in here. But you need to know you got somebody trying to thwart you, somebody trying to block you, somebody trying to mess you up. And it's not your mama and your daddy. It's not your girlfriend or your boyfriend. It's the enemy. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. God has a plan for your life, and the devil has a plan trying to destroy your life. And we need to stop playing around. Somebody needs to know today. You need to get in that word of God. You need to get a prayer life. You need to meditate on the Lord. You need to stop playing around on the outskirts of Christianity. You need to come on into the city. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I'm looking for a church. Well, what do you think this is? Somebody help me. What is this? Pews, cross, Bibles, hymnals, people. What is it? The enemy, the devil, only has the ability to make false promises. So you can't be in the flesh. No flesh shall glory in God's sight. Stay out of the flesh. Flesh is so dangerous. It is so dangerous. As a Christian, you got to be careful. You can't be listening. Sometimes you can't even listen to yourself. The enemy is not all knowing. The enemy is all nagging. The enemy is not all knowing. The enemy is all nagging. Your life and God should not be in the hands of the enemy. Don't wish for something so bad that's out of the will of God that the enemy's got a hold of you. This is a message for you to think about. What are you doing with your life right now? Who do you really belong to? If you're just going through the motions of coming to church, where's your heart? Does God really have your heart? Think about that. If the enemy comes, how are you going to respond? Sometimes you don't have time to go get the word of God. Pastor? The enemy's trying to get me? What's that verse you gave me earlier? No, I didn't get the tape. Brother Dennis was busy. Sister Norman was busy. I didn't get the tape. You better have that word hidden in your heart that you might not sin against God. But know that thing. Know that you know so you can be able to stand. Don't go for the okey-doke. Don't let the enemy mess you up. Don't let anybody mess up your blessing. Don't let anybody come. Even after service, somebody come to you wrong. Don't let them. I ain't going back to that church. They get on my. Oh, Lord, have mercy. If that's where God told you to worship, if that's where God told you to be, if that's where your blessings are, you're learning the word of God, don't let folks. That's the way the enemy gets us. Throws us off. Now you're on another journey trying to find another church. And every church you go to, I was in a church, but I didn't like that church. I liked it until. Now you semi-covered. Just like the enemy tries to stop you and I from being victorious and reaching our destinies and find out that that's exactly what Luke 4 and Matthew 4, Jesus shows us how to defeat them. Don't be afraid to say what thus saith the Lord. That's what's going to happen. By the word of God, by the blood, by the word of God, by the blood of Jesus, that's how you get the victory. And know you have the greatest he that is in you than he that is in the world. The enemy just wreaking too much havoc. You know, you got to learn how to fight. Because a lot of times, you know, we know how to fight, but we fight each other. That's why Paul said, be careful in the church. Don't consume each other. Got to be careful. Because if Deacon Tony, you say something to me I don't like, I'm going to come at you. Instead of saying, wait a minute. Maybe he's having a bad day. Maybe I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because he don't usually come off like that. But some of us, we so ready, we can't say nothing to our bosses. So when we get to church, we ready. We got some stuff. I can't mess my balls off. I need him a check, Pastor. So the first person. I know I'm saved everything, but the first person. I got some leftover stuff from last week because I was aggravated on my. The first person to say something wild to me. And then we dress it up. Lord, forgive me. Oh, yo, we got some stuff for you. Lord, I know I should have done that. But Lord, it felt so good. Lord, I know. Enemy will mess you up, have you fighting the wrong folk. Have you going against your mother, your father, your friends. And they just trying to help you, especially if you don't want to hear it. Something you need to hear. You heard it in the message. The word of God told it to you. And now here comes some of your friends and family telling you the same thing. You know, I want to hear it. I'm tired of it. You can't be but so tired. There's a sign in the conference room that said if you always do the same thing the same way, you're always going to get the same results. It's time for a change in somebody's life. God's asking you for a change. And it starts with him. He tried to stop Jesus from going to Calvary. That was his whole purpose. Not just then. He even tried to kill him when he was a baby. King Herod tried to. They wanted to stop Jesus from going to Calvary's cross because the devil knew that if Jesus went to the cross, then you and I would be saved. That you and I could realize the victory in this life, that we would have destinations and the destiny. And the enemy is so upset with being kicked out of heaven with no chance of getting back to glory that he wants you and I to be messed up with it. That's why the churches aren't packed. Because somebody out there, they believe in a lie. They believe in a lie. But when Jesus went to the cross and resurrected on Easter Sunday, every promise that God made to you and I was fulfilled. We just need to learn how to be still and know that God is God. Now, I know you've been waiting 10 years for that promotion, but it's yours. You got to learn how to wait 10 more if you have to. I haven't met a person yet that didn't get their promotion yet. They still eating. Some of them need to go to the gym. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I think I slipped that one in on you. They are living good while they're waiting on their promotion. Don't let the devil start a commotion while you're waiting on your promotion. Because promotion covers numbers not from the east or the west or from the south, but from the north. And whatever God has for you, he has it for you. And you got to know sometimes God is just customizing it for you. That's why he didn't give it to you yet. But he wanted to change some of the stuff. Some of the rules. He wanted the house to be done a certain way for you. He wanted the car to be a certain way for you. I wish I had somebody that could wait on the Lord. But every promise that God made to us is fulfilled in Christ. And the enemy can't change that. That's the awesome thing about it. No matter what God promised, the enemy can't change what God promised you. The enemy can't change it. Hear that today. The enemy cannot change what God promised you. The enemy can't change it. All they want to do is mess your life up. Mess up your destiny and your destinations. But if you decide to listen to the enemy and follow the enemy and not listen to God and follow God, then you're in trouble. A lot of times, some of the trouble that you and I, and if we tell the truth, if we examine ourselves, it ain't the enemy. Some of the stuff we get into is our fault. My God. And here we are. Messed up. Flesh. Flesh. Getting in the way. God, there's some people God said, you know what, you need to let that person go. And you'd be like, but I need them. You just got finished in church talking about he's my everything. What's that song? Everything. Yeah. You're everything to me, but. We all sang. We sang with you, man. We sang it. Master. Some folks get that. Savior. Ruler. Didn't mean it until sunset show up. You my everything until. Don't you got to be everything every day, every hour. But the Bible says that only one person loved me enough in my mess and came down to the earth to take my mess. Got tortured and crucified for my mess. Got whipped, lied on, spit on, pierced in the side for my mess. Nailed to the cross for my mess. Only one person in the history of this world loved me enough in my mess to take my mess to the cross and bury it and got up on Resurrection Sunday with my new life in his hand. So how can I take my destiny in Christ and give it to the enemy? All that Jesus went through for me. All that he went through for you. And you and I sitting down with a big press and messed up thinking the enemy got the victory. God! The enemy has no right controlling your destiny. If you're a child of God, what you give him the keys for? Take your eyes off the material and look to Jesus. Get your mind out of that. Get your mind renewed. Did you hear it off the prayer today? Our minds need to be renewed. Our hearts need to be renewed. As soon as possible, you need to let the enemy know. Serve the enemy a notice. Give him an eviction notice. You've been living here free of rent long enough. You have not contributed to my life. You don't pay no bills. You don't make me happy. You don't buy me no food. You have me all messed up. Matter of fact, you got me listening to the wrong stuff, thinking the wrong thoughts, hanging with the wrong people, sleeping in the wrong places, drinking the wrong drink, smoking the wrong stuff, and snorting the wrong. The enemy, I serve you notice. You messed up a portion of my life. But I need to let you know through Jesus Christ, I've been redeemed. I am a child of God. It does not yet appear what it shall be. I know you thought you had me. I know right now I'm telling you I'm a child of God and I look a mess. But just wait a minute. It does not yet appear what it shall be. Jesus is the King of my life. And from this moment on, things will change. I'm going to live my life for him. Somebody that loves me. Somebody that cares about me. Somebody that hears my prayer. Somebody walk with me. Talk with me. Somebody don't want to take advantage of me. Because in Christ, I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. If any man be in Christ, I'm new. I've been in the furnace. You didn't get me there. I've been at the potter's wheel. I'm being made brand new. I belong to Jesus. the enemy and my destiny. The enemy has no right in my destiny. The enemy has no right in my life. And you know how it is when winter comes. You shut your windows and you close the door, but every now and then, a little wind gets through a little crack. And sometimes you prayed up. You done put your songs on. As a matter of fact, you got your iPod. And you playing your song, but every now and then, there's a little crack. And the wind begins to blow through that crack. The enemy gets in through the crack, but all you got to do is fill up the crack. They got the crack filler at Home Depot, don't they? Hallelujah. Well, if there's a crack in my life, I can't go to Home Depot. I need to go to that area and pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, you show me the area of my life that's not right yet. I'm going to put some spackles of prayer and spread it. See? Every now and then, everything's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be all right. But begin to know how to tell the enemy, for it is written, for it is written, for it is written. You ain't got to make up nothing. Tell them what, you know what? Tell the enemy, say, look, you might not recognize this because I'm using the NIV. But still you use the word. Oh, my God. This word is so powerful. I mean, one time I left my Bible. Man, I got more than one Bible. You know your favorite Bible in church. I wasn't over that church. I'm giving my Bible. What's the pastor number? What's the sexton's number? I need to get my word. Don't leave home without it. I ain't talking about American Express. I'm talking about the express word of God. The enemy in your destiny. Get him out of your life. Get him out of your children's life. Teach him how to pray. Get him at night. Have a family prayer. Amen. Sit back at the table. If you ain't cooking and everybody order hoagie, put the hoagie on a plate. Light the candle. And come on. We need a family. Come on, y'all. We need a family time. I know everybody busy. You can't cook it like you always cook it. But whatever you got, put it on a plate. And I sit down. God, I thank you. All your children got home safe and you ain't got time to thank God. Nothing happened to them today. You had time to thank God. You got food on the table. You had time to thank God. You got a roof over your head. You get the enemy out of your life through the word of God. Tell them, get out of here. All your doubt, all your deceptions, and all your detractions from the word. No. Jesus is my king. Let us all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.